We're going to do the offering later. Do we need it? Yeah, it's first of the month. We really do. We've got bills to pay, but you know what? God has spoken tonight. This song, do you hear this song? His name is Jesus. Somebody say Jesus. Let me preach to you just a little bit. Now, Pastor Emily, you didn't know what I was going to preach about. I didn't talk to you. But the Holy Ghost knows. How many knows that the Holy Spirit of God is a discerner? And he knows. Are you glad for that? Jesus describes himself as a light to your path. He's strength and power to your life. John chapter 7, an incredible time where Jesus is in the temple and he's teaching in the temple. And the question comes up in verse 25, and I'm using the NIV, I believe. No, the NLT. I'm sorry, Lonnie, the New Living Translation. I'm using that tonight. And in verse 25, the Bible says of John chapter 7, some of the people who lived in Jerusalem started to ask each other, isn't this the man that they're trying to kill? You see, the Pharisees were possessed with getting rid of Jesus because it came against everything that they stood for. And they also said, but he's here speaking in public. And they say nothing to him. Oh my goodness, I can tell you why. Could our leaders possibly believe that he's the Messiah? But how can he be? This is the misunderstanding of religion many times. For we know that this man comes from, where this man comes from. When the Messiah comes, he will simply appear and no one will know where he comes from. Listen, they said the Messiah has to be born in Bethlehem. Yeah. Well, he grew up in Galilee, but what the Pharisees didn't do their homework on was he was born in Bethlehem. Right. How many know that? Yeah. He was born in the city of David. He was found by the wise men as they came and paid homage to him, and they loved him. He's everything. He's fulfilled the scripture absolutely the way he's supposed to. But Satan always twists the facts just a little bit. It's called misinformation. He was everything they said. And finally, in going on from that point on down to John chapter 7, verse 37, Jesus is standing in the temple now. He's not being bothered by the Pharisees. They're not trying to kill him for some reason. I can tell you, that's taking a knife to a gunfight right there. You don't want to challenge the Son of God. Amen? Amen. How many believe he's the Son of God? Amen. I want to bring into fact who he is tonight. And I want to bring this to the facts tonight too. That Jesus is the answer to everything. He's the answer. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus can clear up confusion. Jesus can clear up hurt. He can clear up misgivings. He can clear up what we believe or what we think. And he can take our lives when we put him in the place he is and who he is and do things through us that we cannot find any place else. I don't know about you. I think I do. But I need more Jesus.
Yeah, amen.
He's the clarity of everything in my life. When all the things of life crowd into my heart and my mind, I've got to have something that will clear out the cobwebs and clear out the clouds and let me look into the glorious face of the great God that we serve. In chapter 7, verse 37, he goes on and he's saying this. On the last day, the climax of the festival, Jesus stood and shouted to the crowds, anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Oh, listen to me. I'm telling you, I never get over a thirst for Jesus. It's never been quenched. It's never been enough because the last drink I have isn't as good as the next one I'm about to have. That's how he operates. If you are thirsty, and they say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Actually, I'm not talking about drinking water or something. I'm talking about a hunger for him to pour into you. If you're thirsty, respond tonight with an amen.
Amen.
You see, that thirst, That thirst is what God sees. That's what he knows, and that's what he responds to. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. There's that open invitation. For the scriptures declare, rivers of living water will flow from his heart. When he said living water, he was speaking of the Holy Spirit. Look at that. He's speaking of the Spirit. That's the living water that flows in you. I can't tell you how God has been speaking to me for this church about coming closer and in greater communion and greater love with the Holy Spirit. When he said this, verse 39, living waters, he was speaking of the Spirit, who would be given to everyone believing in him. If you believe in him, say amen.
Amen.
But the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet entered into his glory. Well, he has now.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
He entered into his glory.
Right.
He was crucified. He became the sacrifice of sin, but he rose from the grave.
Right.
He conquered death. He conquered hell. He conquered the grave. He conquered everything that can challenge your life by the blood that he shed. Verse 40. Let me go there. When the crowd heard this, heard him say this, some of them declared, surely this man's a prophet. That may be your opinion of who he is. A lot of people today believe he's a prophet. Even Muhammad teaches he was a prophet. A lot of people see him in different ways. They said, this is a prophet we've been expecting. Others said, he's the Messiah. Still others said, but he can't be. Will the Messiah come from Galilee? Misinformation by the devil. For the scriptures clearly state the Messiah will be born in the royal line of David in Bethlehem. I'm telling you, away in the manger, he was in Bethlehem. He was born in Bethlehem. And God even sent a guiding light to these men of God to come and give him homage like a king. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Amen.
Some even wanted to arrest him, but no one laid a hand on him. Oh, listen to me. I'm getting ready to preach to you.
Come on.
Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Listen to me. I'm tired of restrictions.
Yeah.
I'm tired of people that want restrictions. I want to be as free about preaching about Jesus as I am about cheering the Cardinals to a win this afternoon, finally, after a long time. I want to be as free and demonstrative as I can be about my Lord and my Savior as I can possibly can. And don't take this wrong. I'm really not concerned about your opinion of me. I am concerned about the freedom I have in Jesus Christ.
That's right.
The freedom to express him. To reassess my opinion of him.
Right.
Who is he? Who's he to you? Who's he to me? Is he a prophet? No, he's not a prophet to us. Is he Messiah? Yes, he's Messiah to us. But he's more. Because he's complex. He's not simple. He is so absolute and total in everything he is.
Yes.
When the temple guards, verse 45, returned without having arrested Jesus. The leading priest and Pharisees demanded, why didn't you arrest him? Why didn't you bring him in? And let me speak the next words. Now, Lonnie, don't put them up yet. This afternoon when I was putting this together, final touches, and I final touch it till I walk up here. From Monday to Sunday is a final touch. God spoke to me and reminded me of something in my life and my past. And I called a dear friend of mine that's been a friend a long time. And he in Nashville, and when he answered the phone, his name is Joel Hemphill. He's wrote some of the greatest songs in Southern gospel music. I called him. He said, Brother Sam, how are you doing? I said, Brother Joel, get ready because tonight at about 6:30, you're going to be preaching with me. what are we going to preach? I said, we're going to preach a song you wrote in 1976 or 1979. Candy sang it. Labrisca was singing it. They're part of the Goodman family. And I said, here it is. Here's the song he wrote. Oh, he wrote a song called The Eyes of Jesus. And I can't listen to Tanya Goodman Sykes singing it without telling her, oh, God, what an anointing. But I said, Brother Joel, your anointing's powerful and strong. He wrote this song, and the song's entitled this. Never a man spake like this man.
Yeah.
The glorious King of Kings.
Yes.
He spoke to my troubled heart, and now my soul sings. And I'm going to declare it again. When they said to the guards, why didn't you bring him in? Why didn't you arrest him? Those guards said this, because never a man spake like this man. Listen to me. He's not just some idea. He's not a prophet. He's not a creation of God. He is God. And he's our God. And he's here. The song said it. The words of the songs declare it. And if nobody else hears a word I say tonight, I'm saying it to me, that I'm putting Jesus back on the throne of God. Without competition, without any stress, without any anxiety, and knowing that he and he alone will give us clarity and direction and lead us in everything we need in our lives. Jesus said he was 8 things and many more in the Word of God. He claimed to be God in John 13:19. And we know that he is. He also claimed and said that he existed before anyone was born. In John 8:58, we know that to be true. He said that he is deity and claims, and his trust and his word is that he's the shepherd and he dies for his sheep. He fulfilled these promises in John 10:10 and 11. He said that he was the only way to God in John 14:6. He said that he was bread and water and the important part of eternal life. And he said that in John 6:35. He claimed that we can do nothing without him. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
John 15:1-5. He said that he would be the one that would raise us all from the dead. The resurrection in John 11:25. He said that he was the supreme glory that would satisfy us with eternal life in ages to come in John 17:24. He claims, his claims on who he is are valid, they're real. And when you go back and see who Jesus says he is to us, then we embrace who he is, and he takes the cares and concerns of life, and we get an opening into the glory of God, and we stop worrying, we stop fretting, and we start praising the King of Kings. And that's the answer to every need we have. Every need we have in life. The Bible says that he's the Almighty One. It says he's the Alpha and the Omega. The Bible calls him the advocate and the author and perfecter of our faith, the authority and the bread of life. The Bible says that he's the beloved Son of God and the bridegroom, the chief cornerstone and the deliverer of our faith. He is the faithful and the true, the good shepherd, the high priest, the head of the church, and he is the holy servant of the Almighty God. Listen, something I'm telling you is going to fit you tonight to know who he is for your circumstance. He said that the word says he's the I am, the Emmanuel, the indescribable gift from God, the judge, the King of Kings, and the Lamb of God. The Bible says that he's the light of the world and the lion of the tribe of Judah. He is our Lord and Savior. He's Lord over all, the mediator between God and man, the Messiah and the Mighty One. I'm just hitting a few. But every one of them that I read made me happier and happier of who he was. Because I realized by every title that I read that he took more control of me, more control of my circumstances. And I didn't have to worry. I don't have to fret. I can trust in him for who he is.
Right.
He's the one who set you free.
Amen.
He's our hope and peace. He's our prophet and redeemer, our risen Lord, the rock of our salvation, the sacrifice of our sin. He's my Savior.
Amen.
The Son of Man, Son of the Most High, the Supreme Creator over everything, the resurrection and the life, the door, the way, the word. He's the vine, the true vine. He is the truth, and he's the victorious one, and he's wonderful. He's counselor. He's mighty God and the everlasting Father, and he is this. He is the Prince of Peace.
Amen.
Friends, listen to me. Listen to me. Look who Jesus is. Look who he is to you. Every need you have, every concern you've got, everything that's... Maybe this was just a message for me and one person out there in TV land. I don't know, but I know it was for me. Because I begin to see again who he was, what his role is, how he's effective to me, how he can take my life and put back in order everything. I'm telling you, I read 50 things of the 10 billion trillion titles and names of him for me to realize one thing, that if I put my hope and I put my trust in Jesus Christ, that there's no area of my life he'll let me go astray. There's no area of my life that he will condemn me. He won't do that. He'll strengthen me and guide me with his presence. There's no area of my life that he won't lovingly correct and give me back into a place where I'm lifting my hands before him. Because when I was singing that song, we're going to sing again in just a minute, I'm going to tell you this. I begin to say to him, you are everything to me. And when he's everything to me, I have no other resource. I have no other point of reliance. When he's everything to me, then he floods my spirit with that living water that he offered in the great day of that Passover celebration when he said, if you're thirsty, come. I want to tell you tonight, I came to church thirsty tonight. I came to church wanting tonight. I come to church wanting his presence, his spirit to flow in me. So Jesus, I'm telling you, I'm taking advantage by acknowledging you by names and titles and glory and honor. And I'm saying to you, Lord, give me some of that living water tonight.
Amen.
It's more important than preaching. It's more important than offerings. It's more important than anything that we have a presence of who he is. He's all encompassing. There's no area, no area that he's not to you tonight.
Amen.
You believe that?
Amen.